Amen. Well, welcome today. If you saw that video, you recognized maybe some of those words at the beginning of that video. It's, of course, Psalm 23, right? The 23rd Psalm. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to spend some time just digging into the 23rd Psalm. You know, we've heard the 23rd Psalm a lot of times. Where do we hear it? At funerals, right? That's where we hear the 23rd Psalm more than probably anywhere else in our lives, but there's so many powerful things that we can learn about our good shepherd as we study the 23rd Psalm. So that's what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks as we spend our time together. How many enjoyed that icy ride in today? No one. Yeah. How many are ready for winter to be over? Amen. Let's go on with spring. I'm ready. I'm ready to get into spring and get into all of those new, nice, warm weather and all of that. But well, thank you for being here today. It's good to be in the house of God. And so you all get a gold star today, you know, so congratulate each other, pat each other on the back now, and tell each other how great they are for going through all the ice to get here today, but it is always good to be together. Today, as we dig into the 23rd Psalm, I want to start with just a question. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you've been maybe with a friend or a loved one, and maybe some miscommunication happened and you ended up in a mess, right? Maybe there's been issues like that in your life, you know, where miscommunication took place and you thought, you know, things were supposed to go one way and there was, again, some sort of problem in the communication and then some problem took place. I remember years ago, you know, one of the things I enjoyed doing, I still enjoy doing is I enjoy downhill skiing. Any skiers here? Anyone just love to ski? Okay, a couple of us enjoy to ski. And so skiing is one of those things that I loved, especially as a kid growing up in New Hampshire. I'd go skiing quite often. In fact, one winter I was blessed with being able to work as a ski bum. You know, I worked on a resort and just skied every day. That was a fun winter. But yeah, skiing is one of those things that I just enjoyed. Years ago, there was when I was a teenager and started to be able to drive, even before I started to drive, Mom would bring me. A lot of times after school, we'd go to this little mountain up the road from where we were living called Temple Mountain. Temple Mountain no longer exists. They shut it down. I think they sold the equipment and all of that. But years ago, that was one of those mountains we'd go to just for fun and just enjoy getting out, skiing under the lights. You know, after working, it was about a half hour, 45-minute ride or something like that for me. And just enjoyed spending time. Well, one time in particular, I went with some friends of mine, and we went and just enjoyed the night skiing. And one of the best things, again, small mountain, but there was a couple of black diamonds, you know, so we had a little bit of steepness in some of those runs. And there was one run in particular, I don't remember the name of the slope, but you know, you'd ski down, and if you got some really good speed, there was this one head wall. And a head wall is just basically, you know, a good drop. And so if you were skiing fast enough, when you hit the top of the head wall, you could just get some air, and you could just sail for a while. It felt like you were flying forever, you know, before you finally landed towards the end of the head wall and then skied off and enjoyed the night. But you know, my friends and I, we'd love to hit that head wall. But the dangerous thing about it was, you know, you'd hit the top of it and you could not see your landing until you were in the air. So if there's something happening in the trail below you, then obviously you're going to have some problems. And so, you know, a lot of times one of us would ski down slower and we wouldn't hit the head wall, and we'd go down and we'd give the signal, you know, it's all clear, come on down. Well, we did that, and we were all up there. The guy was down below, and, you know, he was waving his poles, and we're like, okay, he's saying go. And so my buddy said, I'm going first, and so I said, go for it. So he went, he hit the top of the head wall and went flying in the air, and of course, there was a guy that had wrecked in the trail below him. And so as he's flying through the air, he just about hits the skier. Thankfully, he missed the skier, but his gear was in the trail and his skis were in the trail. So by buddy, he landed. And of course, when he landed on the other guy's skis, and the binding went all up his back, and he was all a bruised mess for the next couple of weeks, you know, because some miscommunication happened. You know, the rest of us were like, what happened to Brian? He should have been down there by now. But anyway, miscommunication can happen sometimes in our lives. But this morning, I want to talk about someone that we can follow, someone that will guide us and will guide us perfectly in our lives. Of course, that's our good shepherd, right? Our heavenly Father. He's the one that will guide us. He's the one that will protect us. God is the good shepherd and will lead us beside still waters. Doesn't that sound wonderful to go beside the still waters with our God? Yes, he does lead us beside the still waters, but he also leads us in some other dark places within our lives, in our situations that we find ourselves in as well. But today I want us just to really just park and really think about that first verse in Psalms. So turn to me this morning. It's one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. It's a passage that's provided comfort for millions, maybe billions of people through the years as it's been read in funerals or recited in times when we're afraid. In times of tragedy and disaster, these words from Psalm 23 bring hope. It's a subject and text of many songs within the Christian church. It also, Psalm 23 also appears in secular music, from U2 to the Eagles to even Marilyn Manson. Abraham Lincoln would read this psalm to cure his blues. President Bush publicly read this psalm on 9/11 to kind of bring peace into the midst of that tragedy. You know, the book of Psalms is Israel's songbook. It was David's words to provide songs reflecting the depth of meaning and emotion. And there's so many rich things that we can read in the book of Psalms. The Psalms are not just an account of what David and other psalmists were feeling. Instead, the psalmist really bears his soul and draws us into his world and calls us to share in his emotions and his feelings, using practical examples to illustrate the point of what he's trying to write and put in on paper. And so there's so many, again, just rich phrases within this psalm. The 23rd is one of the greatest of all the Psalms. It's a Psalm of David who grew up as a shepherd boy, right? And so he knew a thing or two about being a shepherd. And so in the midst of all of that was going on in his life, you know, he talked about how the Lord is our perfect shepherd. There's a lot of things, you know, we don't know exactly when this psalm was written because David went through a lot of things in his life. If you study the life of David, you know, there's a lot of different seasons that he went through, you know, where he sinned and, you know, murdered one of his soldiers and committed adultery. You know, we read that story of David. We read of stories with, where he was running from Saul before all that took place, where he's running from Saul and living in caves and in hiding, to later on in his life, he had some issues with his kids, right? You know, and eventually Absalom, one of his sons, eventually took his throne. And Absalom ended up dying as a result. And, you know, all sorts of different issues that David faced in his life. We don't know exactly when he penned these words, you know, but it can fit in so many different situations that we face within our lives. Again, very familiar psalm. So what we're going to do today is we're going to read this psalm together. You ready? You know, so you're going to participate now. So nudge your neighbor. Make sure they're awake. Ow. You know, I don't know. Pat, you've got bony elbows. John just jumped a mile. Yeah. Yeah, be careful. Careful elbowing your neighbor, but just check in on them. We're going to read from ESV. This is what's going to be on the screen here today. So why don't we read the words of this psalm together? You ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Tell your neighbor they did a good job, if they did it, if they participated. Don't tell them they did a good job if they didn't participate. Tell them do better next time, okay? The title of the message this morning is, We Belong to Him. He's our shepherd. We belong to Him. This was a theme that we talked about during our last series when we looked at 1 Peter 9 through 12. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 12, but 1 Peter 2, 9 says this, But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. This idea that we are a people of His own possession, right, is one of the phrases in that passage, that we belong to Him. You are not your own, right? You're not your own anymore. If you've given your heart to Jesus, if you made Him your Lord and your Master, then He is now in charge of your life and you belong to Him. The shepherd owns the sheep, and the good shepherd owns us and is in charge of our lives. This is an excellent thing because the good shepherd leads us, the good shepherd restores us, the good shepherd guards us, the good shepherd sustains us, and the good shepherd loves us, right? The good shepherd is a great guide for our lives and one that we can trust in with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And so I challenge us today, I just want to remind you that you are not your own. In our country, in our culture, we talk about the individualism, right? You know that I'm in charge of my own life. I'm my own man, right? You know that idea. But really, if we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we are not our own. We now belong to our good shepherd. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are not your own. You belong to Him, and He is in charge of your life. The first thing I want to look at today is that closeness to the good shepherd is developed as we listen to the master's voice. We need to listen to our master's voice. And we need to learn a sensitivity to understand and a sensitivity to our master's voice in our lives. Verses 1 through 6 of John chapter 10, it says this, Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hears his voice, and he calls out his sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. That phrase in there that I just want to highlight for us today is that the sheep, right? The sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. And we're not going to dig into all the illustration there today, but I want us to really just understand that we must develop a sensitivity to the voice of God, to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we want to walk in partnership and allow the Lord to lead us appropriately in our lives, then we must develop a sensitivity towards our King and towards our God. It's a wonderful passage, and Jesus provides a figure of speech that helps every one of us understand. The rest of the parable becomes clear when you grasp onto this understanding, again, that God is our shepherd. In verse 6, the disciples didn't understand it because Jesus paints a picture that the Lord is our shepherd and we are the sheep. I don't know if you've ever, analyzed in your life. You know, if I were an animal, I would be a, right? You know, there's personality tests that you could answer that and fill in the blank of what animal, right, that you would relate to. You know, I don't know how many would pick a sheep. You know, there's not a lot of redeeming qualities about a sheep. You know, that wouldn't be on the top of our list many times, but that's who we are in our relationship with Almighty God. He is the shepherd, and we are His sheep, right? That's who we are. Why does the Lord say He's our shepherd? A shepherd, we have to understand, is 100% responsible for keeping the flock together. That's one of the jobs of a shepherd, is to keep the flock together. If a sheep goes wandering off, he says, no, come back, right? Come back and join with the rest of the flock. The shepherd is 100% responsible for protecting the sheep from predators, right? We serve a God that protects us from predators and from all sorts of issues within our lives. He leads us to fresh water and to pasture. And those are beautiful things that the Lord does for us, right? Leads us to green pastures, leads us beside the still waters. And He also watches out for the sick and for the young. This job description makes it clear that a shepherd's role is demanding. He would be with his sheep around the clock in all sorts of weather, leading them over rugged terrain and under the heat of the sun, and listening in the dark to the sounds of danger. How many would sign up to be a shepherd? Go hang out with sheep 24 hours a day and walk with them and sleep with them and guide them and, you know, provide for them and bring them to right pastures and all those kinds of things. Probably not something the majority of us would sign up for. Say, hey, I'd love to sleep under the stars, right? Let me go sleep out with the sheep. That would be wonderful. You know, not a lot of things that we would sign up for in our lives, but the Lord is our shepherd. What does that mean? It means He is in charge. He knows what you're going through. He keeps an eye on the sheep. He knows what's happening in the sheep's lives and what's happening in the pasture and what's happening amongst the flock. He knows all that's going on in your life. God is in charge, and God is the caretaker of our soul, right? He cares for us, and He loves us so deeply and takes us where we need to go as we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Palestine, sheep were raised primarily for their wool. Therefore, they would stay with the shepherd for many years at a time. And the sheep would literally learn to know the voice of their shepherd. They knew his voice and would often follow him as they led him down the safe path. But sometimes the sheep needed some encouragement to follow, right? Sometimes there were moments where they needed a little bit of encouragement. You know, you have a God who desires to lead your life. You have a God that is there with you. My sheep hear my voice and they come to me. When we listen to the shepherd, we immediately know when the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When we know the voice of the shepherd, then we're going to know when what is not the voice of our shepherd. And so God is going to be able to guide and direct our lives as we have a sensitivity towards the voice of our shepherd. And so I challenge you to get into a close, intimate relationship with Almighty God and continue to grow in understanding what the voice of your shepherd sounds like. He's there with us. He's speaking to us. He's guiding us. He's with us every day of our lives, but there's times that we might not be in tune to hearing the voice of our Heavenly Father. In fact, I'd say there's just some here today that don't have a sensitivity to the voice of God at all, and really struggle with understanding, how do I know when God is speaking to me? How do I know the voice of the shepherd? Well, it takes time in relationship with Almighty God. That's the first thing you need to know, is that time in your relationship with Him. But there's ways that we can grow to hear the voice of God in our lives. We grow in our understanding of who our God is as we spend time in His Word. Amen. That's a good spot for an amen. Crickets. We learn to hear the voice of God as we spend time in His Word. I challenge you, if you're like, I don't spend time in God's Word, then guess what? You're going to have a real hard time distinguishing the voice of God in your life. I guarantee you will have a difficult time distinguishing the voice of God in your life if you don't spend time in His Word. We need to be students of God's Word. We need to open God's Word daily. We need to be reading God's Word as much as we possibly can. And guess what? That closeness in your relationship with God will give a sensitivity to hear the voice of God in your life. You need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time, not just the pray without ceasing, right? Just shotgun prayer. Every time I need to pray something, I pray something. And that's good. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to be praying constantly in our lives. But we need to go into a prayer closet. We need to shut the door and spend time communing with God. Spend time in prayer before our King and our Lord. How much time do you spend in a week just you and God with a door closed and just listening to God and speaking to God? I don't know how much time you do that. Do you dedicate every morning from 8 to 8:30? I'm doing that, right? Maybe that's your story, but maybe some of us are not spending time dedicated and devoted to hearing the voice of God and talking to God in prayer. So I challenge you, find a time during the day where you can get alone with God, turn off the distractions and the disruptions, and just spend time in your relationship with God. We also grow to hear God's voice through times like this, right? Times of worship, as we worship together and sing and go after God together. We spend time in His house and learning as we listen to His Word being preached. We can hear God's Word speak. And it's amazing to me as a pastor. I've talked to people after church, shaking their hands, and they say, "Hey, great passage, Pastor. I really love this point that you pulled out." And I'm like, "I don't remember saying anything about that today." But that's what the Holy Spirit does, right? The Holy Spirit speaks to us and applies His Word into our hearts and into our lives in an individual way. And that's the beauty of spending time, you know, and learning from God's Word and spending time in the house of God. We need to get in our quiet place before God. I challenge you to seek God and He will be found. God wants us to go after Him. God wants us to spend time in relationship with Him. And so we need to have a sensitivity towards the voice of God, and that only happens as we spend time in relationship with Him. It's the same thing with the voice of my wife, right? If I don't spend time with my wife, then I'm going to grow numb to her voice, right? I'm not going to hear what she has to say to me, and maybe I need to listen better anyway sometimes. Any husbands with me? I don't know where my wife is. Oh, there she is, all the way up top. She's looking down on me today. Yeah, right? We need to build that relationship. And in our relationship with God, I challenge you, spend time with Him so that you can grow in sensitivity to hearing His voice. And you can learn from His voice. And guess what? As you learn His voice, then you'll know what's not His voice in your life. And that is so important to walk in your life with Him. Next week, we're going to talk about how He leads us. And so come next week and learn more about that as we dig into God's Word together. The second point I want to pull out of this passage is that closeness to our good shepherd will lead us to an overflowing life overflowing with contentment. We will become content as we walk in our relationship with the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, right? I shall not want. That's a beautiful statement there. God provides for us personally because of who He is. This first verse in Psalm 1, the Lord, this name Yahweh is first revealed in Exodus 3. I am who I am, right? Ordinary Israelites regarded this name too holy to be spoken by human lips. In fact, one theologian wrote that it was so revered that this name of God, Yahweh, was only pronounced once a year on the Day of Atonement and once a year by the high priest in the most holy place of the temple. And so one time by the high priest in the most holy place of the temple was the only time this name for God was uttered in this world. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had some reverence for God like that today? Oh, I don't know. That's a whole nother sermon for another time. We won't dig into that today. But just that idea, you know, another theologian, as I was studying, they said that when this name was written, check this out, that the scribe would take a bath before they wrote this word, this name of God. And then after they wrote this name of God, they would throw the pen away. Right? Wouldn't it be awesome if we were typing away and we typed the name of God? And then we're like, oh, this computer's no good anymore, right? It's typed the most holy name of God. I'm throwing it away. Give me a new computer, right? You know, threw the pen away. They said, get rid of this. This isn't, I can't use this pen anymore because it's written the most holy thing that it can write, the name of God. You know, man, if we would just have a little bit of reverence for God like they did, but that's, again, we can look at that and we can jump into that some other time, but you know, he is the one that brings everything else to existence. He is unchanging, the one who dwells for eternity. Because the Lord is my shepherd and he cares for me personally, God's provision should make us content. He's the good shepherd, the God of the universe. He cares for me personally. Therefore, I should be living a life overflowing with contentment. You know, we should be the most content people in this world. The last part of verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not be in want, as what some translations say. One day there was a Sunday school teacher that was talking to their class, and they said, how many of you can quote Psalm 23? Maybe we should ask that question amongst this group, right? How many could quote Psalm 23? If you can't, I challenge you in the next couple of weeks, start studying it, start learning it, and start being able to memorize it, right? Hide God's word in thine heart that you might not sin against him, right? That idea. We need to hide God's word in our hearts. Anyway, Sunday school teacher asked how many can quote. Several children raised their hand, including a little girl who was 4 years old. She said, I think I can quote it, teacher, right? You know, how many of your kids can quote Psalm 23, let alone us? Teacher was surprised that someone so young could quote the Psalm 23 recited the class. So she asked her to stand up and recite it to the class. This little four-year-old girl said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. Didn't quite get the words right, but got the heart of that message correct, didn't they? You know, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. You know, wouldn't that be beautiful if we started living our lives that way? Man, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. That's all I need in my life is just a close, intimate relationship with my God. I need my God in charge of my life. And then everything else is going to be taken care of. If Jesus is your shepherd, everything else is secondary. We should say it like this. If the Lord is my shepherd, then I shall not want. If I am in want, then the Lord is not my shepherd, right? You know that idea, if we flip it, you know, is that true, right? If I want something else, then maybe the Lord really isn't my shepherd like I think he is. Psalm 34:9 says this, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. If we fear God, then we lack nothing. But in so many times in our lives, we live with discontentment in our hearts. And I challenge you, don't live a life filled with discontentment. When someone says, I shall not want, you need to sit up and take notice because we live in an age of discontentment. There's a lot of things we may have wanted as we were driving here today. Maybe we're complaining, right? You know, if only this was a little bit better in my life. If only I had, you know, a nice big truck. I could drive through this ice with no problem, right? If only I had, you know, fill in the blank with whatever it is. Listen to the words of this guy named Josh. He wrote this years ago. He says, it was spring, but it was summer I wanted, right? The warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall. I wanted the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter. I wanted the beautiful snow and the Christmas season. It was winter. Maybe you could relate to this one. It was winter, but it was spring. I wanted the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood. I wanted the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30. I wanted to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20. I wanted the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age. I wanted the presence of mind without limitations. Then my life was over and I never got what I wanted. Right? We can live that way so easily in our lives. We always look at our lives and our situation. You know, the grass is always greener. We all have that attitude in a lot of different situations in our lives. But man, if we would just say, God, you're my shepherd. God, you're in charge of my life. God, I'm following after you. And God, I'm going to be content with what you've blessed me with in my life. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8 says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content. We need to have contentment overflowing in our lives. What is contentment? Contentment's being satisfied with God's provision. Right? I'm not going to go through all these verses. I think it might be up there. Maybe I didn't put it up there. But what is contentment? Contentment is being satisfied with God's provision, right? Proverbs 30, 7 through 9, you can take a picture of that and you can read that later. But just that idea, we need to be satisfied with what God has blessed us with in our lives. God is our provider, amen? And in order to be content, we need to be satisfied with what God's blessed us with in our lives. You know, let's live a life filled with satisfaction, not wanting what's best or what's new or what's exciting or whatever. Fill in the blank with all the worldly things that we might want in our lives. Be careful with going down that road. Contentment is a place of peace, right? When we trust in God, God overflows our spirit with peace. Right, and so that this reference there, Matthew 6, is talking the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is sharing and saying, hey, what if flowers of the field don't stress about, you know, where they're getting, for the birds of the air don't stress about, you know, storing up grain and in barns, you know, and so they trust God, and so we need to trust God because we're even more valuable than all of those, right? And so living a life filled with contentment in our journeys, contentment means a settled sense of who we are. I like this part of the definition because this really evaluates what's going on inside of my heart, what's happening inside of my life. How many have ever looked in the mirror and been unsatisfied with what you saw? How many have ever been like, man, if only I could have a little more hair on the top of my head, right? You know, sometimes they show shots of that online, and it's like all you see is the bald spot of your pastor, you know, glistening in the reflecting of the lights. That's the way I feel anyway sometimes, right? But yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of things. If only I were skinnier, if only I were, fill in the blank. There's a lot of things about our lives. If only I were richer. If only I were more intelligent. If only I had more degrees. If only I had, you know, there's a discontentment that can happen inside of us very quickly. And so we need to be careful with all of those things that happen inside of us. Contentment means a settled sense of who we are. You know, when something is settled, it means that we have a set course and are committed to that path. James mentions in James 1 that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, right? People who are double-minded are certainly not settled. They do not experience a sense of rest and peace. Is your heart filled with peace? Closeness to your good shepherd will lead us to an overflowing life, a life overflowing with contentment. The last point we're going to look at really quickly as we get ready to close is that closeness to the good shepherd begins when we humbly admit that we need him. Right? It all starts with just a humble heart saying, God, I need you. God, I need you in my life. I need you to guide my life. And that starts with humility because we try to do it on our own. We try to live on our own. We try to work out all our own problems and our own plans in our lives. And we need to just stop and we need to reflect on our God and say, God, I'm going before you and saying, God, you need to guide this ship. You need to guide my life. And that means that humility on our part. It takes humility for us to put God in his rightful place in our lives. lives, where we say, God, I can't do it on my own. If I try to do it on my own, I'm going to mess it all up. But God, I need to trust in you in all things. I need to follow your leadership in my life, in everything. Our shepherd voluntarily gave his life for us so that we could be restored into a relationship with God once again. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for all of us, suffering and dying on the cross. He's the only one in whom we can trust. Hebrews chapter 13 says these words, "Now may the God of peace, who brought you from the up from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of his sheep, and ratified the eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all that you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen." Our good shepherd died on the cross for our sins. And now we need to give our lives to him. We need to put him in his rightful place. Because guess what? This shepherd knows every one of us on an individual basis. He knows you. He cares for you. He wants what's best for you. Sometimes what's best for you doesn't look best to us in our limited perception and perspective. But he has what's best for you in mind. And he's guiding you in all things. And you can trust him in every aspect of your life. Just as the shepherd knows the individual bleats and baas, the good shepherd knows every detail about you. The good shepherd knows every detail there is to know about you. He owns us, right? He provides and gives us leadership in our lives. He leads us. He knows what direction we need to go in our lives. He restores us. He retrieves us when we are lost. Isn't that wonderful that he comes after us when we're lost and comes and restores us? He guards us. He knows our need for security. He is there with us and is guarding us in ways that we might not even understand or might not even see. He is there with us. He sustains us. He invites us to his table, and he gives us the overflowing and overflowing cup. And beyond all of that, he loves you, right? Our God, the God of the universe, loves you and wants what's best for you, but you need to put him in charge of your life, and you need to say, God, I trust you in all things. God, I'm going to follow your leadership. I'm going to go where you call me to go. I'm going to do what you call me to do, whatever that might be. I'm going to submit, and I'm going to follow you in every aspect of my life. 1 Peter 2:25 says this, "For you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls." Maybe you haven't been following very well, because sometimes we're pretty dumb. Sometimes we're not following very well. But I challenge every one of us, it's not too late to put God in charge of your life, where you say, God, I give my life to you. God, you are in charge of my life. And when you put him in charge of your life, when you put him in that rightful place, when you're growing in a sensitivity towards the voice of God, when you understand that he is meeting your needs and you can live with contentment in all areas of your life, when you really humbly put yourself under his authority, then guess what? You're going to grow in your relationship with Almighty God, and he's going to continue to do great things in your life and through your life as you put him in his rightful place of leadership in your life. Let's stand up around this place today. Worship team, you can come forward. We're going to get ready to close this time. But I want you to really just start reflecting. Is first, do you have a relationship with the shepherd? Do you have a sensitivity towards the voice of God in your life? Is there a sensitivity happening? Or are you one of those that just says, you know, I have a hard time distinguishing with the voice of God when he speaks to me in my life? And that can be any one of us, right? There's times, there's seasons of that in our journey, in our walk with God. And so I challenge you, if you're having a hard time hearing and distinguishing the voice of God, then you need to start spending more time with God every day of your life and start growing in your relationship with him every day. Do you know his voice? Do you really know his voice when he speaks to you? Are you truly following his leadership in your life? When he calls you to do something, are you obeying? Are you being obedient to what he is calling and asking of you in your life? Are you trusting him in every detail of your life? You know, sometimes we get very discontent in our lives, discontent with what God might be calling us to do. God, I don't like that you called me to go to that job. God, I don't like that you called me to live in this home. God, I don't like that you called me to do this or do that. Whatever it might be, we can fill in the blank, right? You know, and we get discontent so quickly. But we need to come back into a place where we are trusting in God and saying, God, I put you in charge, and God, I trust you in all things right now. And God is guiding and directing and providing for you in ways you will never understand. And so we can trust in him because he is our good shepherd. Our good shepherd loves us. Our good shepherd is walking with us. Our good shepherd is there with us in the midst of all the good, all the bad, all the trouble, all the loss, all the issues that are going on in our world. And so I challenge you to draw close to your God. Start learning his voice in a new and a powerful way in your relationship with him today. And God, we love you. God, I pray right now that you just have your way in this time together. Lord, that you'll just continue to draw us closer into a deeper relationship with you right now. And God, I pray that you just speak to us in this time together today. And Lord, if there's adjustments that need to be made in our lives, God, I pray every one of us would do that, to make those adjustments. And Lord, that we would become sensitive to hear your voice in all things, in all areas of our lives. God, that we would just come to a relationship with you. God, that we would hear your voice. We would become people that are dedicated to reading your word, dedicated to spending time with you in prayer and with worship. And God, that we would hear the voice of our master every day of our lives. God, I pray that over every one of us right now, Lord, that we would be able to distinguish between your voice and all the voices and the noise of this world, because this world has a lot of messages that it wants us to follow. But God, I pray that we would follow after you, and that we would be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. God, I pray for every one of us right now, Lord, that might be living a life that's unsatisfied with what their world is. But God, I pray for contentment upon every one of us. God, help us to be people that are not trying to build up our kingdom here in this world filled with treasures of this world, with money and possession. But God, help us to be people that are going after the right things and building up treasures in heaven. God, I pray right now that you would help us to have the right goals within our lives so that we can live a life overflowing and filled with contentment. And God, I pray over every one of us right now, Lord, that we would admit that we need you in our lives and put you in the rightful place of leadership in our hearts and in our lives. And God, that we would humbly go after you and say, God, I give you my life. God, I ask that you would just be enthroned in my life and guide and direct all things that's happening in my world right now. God, we love you so much. And God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just continue to speak to every one of us, and that you would draw us deeper in our relationship with you. God, we love you so much and are so thankful, God, that we can serve you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. And God, that you will just continue to go ahead of us, and you will continue to lead us in all things within our lives. God, we love you and we thank you. And God, once again, we commit to putting you in the rightful place as the shepherd of our lives. We put you in your rightful place as the shepherd of our lives. We commit that to you right now. God, we commit ourselves to you once again. God, we love you. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our minds. And God, I pray that you go with us with your anointing, your strength, and your power. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your presence here today. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. It was good to be together today. Amen. Go in the strength and the anointing of God and allow God to lead your life. Put him in the rightful place as a shepherd of your heart today. If you're here for the first time and you want to meet someone from our Connect team and just spend some time with us today, then I encourage you to go right through these side doors. We'd love to meet with you and just shake your hand and just say hi. But I love you. Hope you have a great rest of the week. And I think we have a missions meeting right now. Back in my wife's office, which is down this hallway. So the mission, the people going to El Salvador, there's a missions team meeting. Those that are going on the missions trip, just meet my wife down at her office. I love you guys. Hope you have a great rest of the week. God bless.